episode number 22.
Welcome to the Music Business Connection, taking you backstage with your all-access pass from your host, Terrence D. Shemanski, featuring today's special guest.
Ezina LeBlanc is in the house. Ezina is an artist and writer and former Miss Black USA, currently writing music for an animated children's TV series for Fox. Her work includes work as a singer and songwriter, author, radio host, producer, and more. Hi, Ezina. Are you ready to rock?
Absolutely.
All right. Ezina, as someone involved in the music business, tell our listeners a little bit more about who you are and what you do.
My name is Ezina LeBlanc, and I've been in the entertainment business, since I was a little tiny tyke, about 3 days old. So I've been in this business for quite some time. I've seen a lot of changes in the industry from the hot thing when I was a kid was cassette tapes, you know, all the way to, you know, now we're not even printing CDs anymore. We're releasing music online. As an artist, I've done a little bit of everything. I've done writing. I've done producing. I've done the touring. I've toured all over the world several times with my band and by myself. I was an actress on All My Children for a little while. And, you know, the industry is still the same. You know, it changes from the outer perspective, but the inner perspective of the industry has stayed the same. It's still the same hard work. You know, it's just all the same. It just looks different, you know, on the outside.
Well, here at the Music Business Connection, we know much can be said through song lyrics. What song lyrics would you like to share with our audience?
You can cover me from head to toe so that only my eyes show, but the power of a woman can never be contained. And that lyric spoke volumes. You know, I had no idea that it was going to touch so many people worldwide. You know, I had, you know, Muslim women contacting me. I had, you know, women from Asia contacting me, as well as people here in America who were really struck by that lyric and that song.
As I'm sure you would agree, everyone has setbacks from time to time. What is one major challenge you had to face that you would like to share with other people in the music business?
Changing genres was really challenging for me. And I've changed genres 3 times now. I started off in R&B music. I switched from R&B to rock, and from rock to sacred chant music, which is what I'm doing now. And, you know, every time you change a genre, you lose some fans, you lose followers. You know, some people were really into what you were doing. And, you know, when you go off in another direction, they're not always willing to follow you. And, you know, I found that a little heartbreaking, you know, because you look at your numbers and you go, wow, you know, I have X many fans. You know, it was very challenging every single time that I made a switch. But as an artist, you know, you're always growing and changing. And it's so important to honor your journey and to, you know, stick it out no matter what. Every time I thought, oh my gosh, my career is going in the dumps now because I made this change or this shift, you know, things always turned around for me. And, you know, sometimes it took a little longer than I would have liked, but things turned around. But during those dark days when, you know, the needle's not moving and your sales aren't really happening, you know, all I can say is just keep going. You know, if you have a spiritual practice or, you know, a support system, that's the time that you really, really need to utilize all of those skills and resources to give you the support that you need so that you can gain momentum in this new area that you're traveling into musically.
To name one of your skills, we know you are a great singer and songwriter, but if you could have one skill or ability you currently don't have, what would you choose?
I would have to say that would be, I would have to say that's PR. You know, that's one thing I think is all artists, we schedule with promoting ourselves. And if I could have one skill set that I don't have now, it would be to be that rockin', you know, PR person who, you know, can go out and make the connections or the calls or what have you to promote my work. And, you know, I talk to many, many artists. I coach a lot of artists, and it's something that we all struggle with. You know, we are great about going and doing the work and producing the body of work and performing the work and sharing the work. But when it comes to promoting the work and selling ourselves, you know, that's an area that we all seem to struggle with. And, you know, it's been a big, big, issue for me with my career, to be honest, is that I have never been a great salesperson. I've been a great artist, but not necessarily the greatest promoter of my work. Even though I fully believe in it, of course, but it's just going out. It felt like bragging. It feels a little bit like bragging, like, hey, you know, check out my new CD or check out my new book or check out, you know, it feels a little sometimes like bragging. And mm-hmm. So I think if I had that skill set, that things would be totally different.
Mm-hmm. Well, that sounds like something a lot of artists can probably identify with. When you're promoting your music, it might sound like you're bragging. It really depends on how it's done in the way that it's written as a press release or the way that it's presented on Twitter or Facebook. Boy, that's a skill in itself. You're right. Great answer on that. I mean, I can totally see so many musicians right now going, yeah, I don't know what to say about myself. Self-promoting, yes. You know, hey, here, I'm awesome. You know, look at my music.
Exactly.
Well, let's talk about one of your biggest success moments. Tell us about that moment in your life where you felt incredible and had a major breakthrough.
Wow. I've had a few of those moments. I guess musically, my first debut CD, Tempted, which was a R&B recording, I sold 1 million copies of that, you know, by myself without a record label. And it was that moment that you realize that you sold 1 million copies that you're like, oh my gosh, I did something really incredible. Like, wow, how did this even happen? You know, because when you're an artist, you're just out there slugging along, right? You're doing your gigs. You know, I was selling CDs everywhere. I was selling them in the airport. I was selling them at gigs. I was selling them at my doctor's office. I was selling them, you know, at the grocery store. You know, my dry cleaners, everywhere I'd go, people would be like, oh, you know, you do music. You got anything new? And I'm like, absolutely. As a matter of fact, you know, right here, I have my CD, you know, and people would buy it from me. And, you know, I just kept reordering and reordering and reordering. And I wasn't counting how many that I actually sold, you know. And then when I realized, oh my gosh, I've sold 1 million copies of this CD, it was like, oh, wow. You know, that's really something big. That's really an accomplishment.
Huge.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. But, you know, it wasn't until after the fact, it was probably, you know, a year or so later that I realized that I had actually done that.
All right. Well, what is one thing about the music business that is rocking your world right now?
You know, I have to tell you, this is so incredible. I received a video probably 4 months ago about a band who recorded their entire album, video, and tours with their iPad. And, you know, it just blew me away because the album sounded great. The video looked fantastic. And I was thinking, okay, I remember years ago, like saving and saving and saving so that I could get, you know, a 4-track machine, then an 8-track, then a 16-track machine, you know, and getting, you know, mic preamp, like just building up the gear, you know, so that I could record my song ideas. And I'm just going, you know, this is incredible that nowadays, you know, I sound like a really old person, but But you know that right now you can go and buy an iPad and buy $100 worth of, well, not even $100. I think I added it up, $54 worth of apps, $250 on a microphone, and you can record an album, you know, on your iPad. Like, that's just unheard of.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, so much has changed so fast that it has happened in a matter of the internet really just got popular within the last 20 years. I mean, 1995, I would say, was the first time many people even went on to the internet, yet alone onto a computer for many people. Yet here we are today, where the new generation coming up, you know, say a 10-year-old or a 15-year-old, they've never probably even been without the internet. Whereas somebody that's older than 30 is going to go, yeah, I know both sides of it. I know what it's like to not have the internet and not have a cell phone and all this technology, and certainly not have apps. I mean, that's even newer. We're talking 2007, 2008, where apps started becoming popular. And now you got this band that's recorded an album just on their iPad. Amazing.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. I think it's just, you know, all the music that's coming out right now, it's so fresh, and yet it's nostalgic at the same time. And I'm just blown away by everything that you can do with the smallest of equipment.
Well, who would you like to thank as one of your biggest musical influences if they were standing in front of you right now?
You know, there are so many, but I have to say it would have to be Diana Ross. And the reason for that is, being a little Black girl watching her on television, you know, she's from Detroit, Michigan. I'm from Michigan. And there was always that bit of pride that she came from Michigan and that she was always classy. And, you know, I watched tons of interviews of her over the years, and she's always been a class act. And I think she's really represented not only the African-American community, but the community of Detroit. And I so appreciate that. You know, she was always so eloquent in her speaking and her dressing. And I'm just so grateful, you know, because she paved the way for so many women, you know, worldwide.
Well, we're about to blast off into a segment of the podcast called the Pod Finale, where you'll have the opportunity to motivate and inspire people in the music business. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right. If you had to start over again in the music business starting tomorrow and nobody knew who you were, what would be your game plan over the next 3 weeks?
First of all, I would let everyone know what I was doing. You know, over the years, the thing that I've learned that is the most powerful to any artist, business, individual is to have a list. And your list is so powerful. It is the most valuable asset that you will ever have. So if I were starting all over again, I would start making a list of everyone that I knew. To be honest, this is actually what I did when I left corporate America to do music full time, is I made a list of everyone that I knew. And I contacted them to let them know what I was doing. And I asked them if they knew anyone who could help me. And, you know, everybody wants to help you. That's the thing, you know. So the first thing is make that list and then reach out to that list and let everybody know what you're doing, where you're going. From there, I would find a place to perform or display my art. If I was a painter or a visual artist, I would find a location somewhere, you know, doesn't need to be expensive. Just say, hey, can I come in for a few hours on this date or what have you and play some music for you? Or can I come and display my art for you? And that list that I just made, I would invite them all. And the next thing I would do before that performance is I would make something available for sale, whether that be an EP with one or two or three songs, whether that be, you know, a piece of art, something that people can take away with them that you can sell at that event. So 3 weeks, week one, compile your list. Week two, find a place to perform. Week 3, contact your list and let them know where you're going to be. And that's how I would blast off, you know, because from there, you know, it's going to happen. They're going to go and talk to all their friends and say, hey, you know, I went to this event, this great artist. I heard their music. It was fantastic. I bought this little EP. It's cool. I bought a t-shirt. You know, this is awesome. Check it out. And the word begins to spread, you know, and that whole thing about 6 degrees of separation is so true. You know, with 6 people, you can make it around the world because those 6 people know 6 more people and so on and so forth. So that's how I would do it. If I knew nothing, if I was starting fresh, that's what I would do. Build your list.
Well, that leads right to the next question. If you were having coffee with a struggling musician who asked for your best piece of advice, what would you say in 1 minute or less?
Build your list. You know, I sound like a broken record, like a one-trick pony, but it really is the most valuable thing you can do.
You know, that is great advice, considering that that goes all across the board, beyond just building a list of people you know and calling them, getting in touch with them about what you have going on. It's true with email. You know, they
Absolutely.
Say, yeah, with building a web business, build your email list. That's going to be your list. Those are the people that you write from time to time. Same thing with the blog. That's a list. These are people who are reading the blog. Same thing with the podcast. These are the people who listen on a regular basis. That's your list. And being able to reach out to them in one format or another is so important on a regular basis.
And to own your list, you know, if I can just say one more thing, you know, a lot of artists that I'm working with, you know, they come to me and they're like, oh, look at my Facebook and look at my Instagram. Well, you don't own that list. Facebook owns that list. Instagram owns that list. You have to get people onto your own private mailing list. You know, if you're bootstrapping it, go to MailChimp and get a free MailChimp account. You can have up to 2,000 people on your MailChimp account before you have to pay for it. You know, but you need to own your list. That is your asset. That is a major, major asset. You know, if you're looking old school at how to get signed with the record label, they want to know about your list. They want to know about your reach. And one last piece of advice, never, ever, ever, ever sell that list. I've had my list since 1995. You know, my list has grown leaps and bounds. I've been around the world on my own without a record label. Your list is powerful. Take care of it. Take care of your people. Email them. Stay in touch. Let them know your ups, your downs. You know, stay in touch and be real. You know, it's not always about selling them something. It may be, hey, I found this cool picture. I thought it was cool. Or, hey, here I was at the beach. Look at this beautiful sunset. It's about connection. Treat them like your friends because they are. And friends are there till the end. So make sure that you treat your list well and you take care of it and get those people off of Facebook and Instagram and onto your private list.
Oh, what gold advice. I know that so many artists out there are hearing this and going, I got to take notes on this. That's so important. Own your list. You know, I realized that a long time ago with 3000 Records, my company, where I started having subscribers subscribe mm-hmm. through various websites where they're now on the 3000 Records email list, and that has exceeded over 13,000 musicians and bands by name on that list.
Wonderful.
And it's so important to have a list to be able to reach out to people and let them know what you have going on.
Absolutely, and the list building never ends.
That's right. If you had your own Super Bowl commercial and could send a message to millions of viewers, what would you say?
It's your time. It's your time to live your best life, to do what you love for a living. It's your time to live a life that you love, that's full of passion and joy. It's your time.
Yes. Oh, yes. And you only have such a short time with the Super Bowl commercial, because
right?
It better be your time. It's like $1 million for that commercial.
Exactly. Right.
Yes, you got to use your time. Yeah, it's so important. Great message. Thank you.
Thank you.
At the Music Business Connection, we know the importance of having the right equipment, whether it's for recording in the studio or for live performances or for other aspects of the music business. What is your favorite one piece of equipment right now?
Right now is my Paul Reed Smith Custom 22 guitar. I call it Birdie. It has birds on the neck, and it's been around the world with me. It's inspired me to write music that I never would have written otherwise.
Well, I'm trying to picture this guitar now. So you see, it has birds on it, and yes. What color is it?
You know, right now it's covered in crystals. It's covered in blue crystals.
Oh, neat.
And it has birds that are inlaid in it of pearl. And, you know, it's just a gorgeous, gorgeous piece of equipment. And, you know, another person that I would have mentioned would have been Santana when you asked me the question earlier. And this is the guitar that Santana plays. But mine is left-handed because I am a left-handed guitar player. So it's a lefty, and mine is covered in crystals. But there's something magical about Carlos Santana, and I had to have his guitar. But I had to make it, you know, I had to chickify it by putting crystals all over it.
Well, what's the best way for other people in the music business and music fans to get in touch with you?
The best way is to go to www.ezina.com, and that's E as in Edward, C as in Zebra, I as in Igloo, N as in Nancy, A as in Apple, .com. And there you can sign up on my list. I love sending out freebies to my subscribers. I send out tickets, t-shirts. I send out, you know, all kind of little fun freebies. I send little, you know, subscriber only videos of me and my family, or, you know, me just messing around on the guitar. And, you know, you really get to see what happens behind the scenes, you know, the stuff that you don't see, you don't put out for the public. You get to see, you know, the nitty gritty, no makeup. Here I am just jamming on my guitar or writing or at the beach or what have you. And, you know, I also do live streams where we can connect and we can, you know, just talk to each other. Every now and then I do Q&As where you can just get online with me in a Google Hangout and ask me questions. And, you know, it's really important to me that if you feel a connection, that you connect to me, whether it be music, whether it be coaching. You know, I coach a lot of artists who are struggling or who are just stuck. And or maybe you just need to know what's my next best move. So make sure you reach out to me. I'm always available in one form or another to assist you along your journey. So again, that's ezina.com. And if you want to email me, you can email me at info@ezina.com and I'll get back to you. Now, I get back to everybody. It may not be the same day. I know in this day and age, we're used to instant gratification. But I will get back to you. So
well, you mean the person who writes you isn't the most important person in the world, and you shouldn't drop everything to write them back immediately?
Well, wait, I get about 4,000 emails a day. Like we get through them. We get quite a few emails. So
that's awesome that you're taking the time to write people back. We'll also have Ezina's show notes available at musicbusinessconnection.com. Just type in Ezina in the search box. Well, Ezina, before we go, you mentioned that you sold over 1 million copies of one of your albums. Could you please tell us how in the world did you go about doing that besides selling them personally to people you knew? Whenever you'd be out and about, you'd be able to sell copies in person. But to get 1 million in sales, how did you do that? Can you break it down?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, I had to break it down for myself after it happened. I toured all over the world. I did a tour. I went to Italy. I went to Greece. I was in France. I was in Australia. I was in South Africa. I'm trying to think where else I went. I went everywhere. Anyways, I went all around the world, Turkey. Anyway, everywhere I went, I sold CDs at my show, and I sold CDs to the venue. So it was really a lot of packaging and a lot of fundraising. You know, there are organizations, hey, you need to make money for whatever, you know, here's 100 CDs, you know, here's 200 CDs, what have you. So I used it as a fundraising vehicle for organizations that I believed in. and split the profits. And before you know it, you know, you're up to a million if you just do that a handful of times, because you don't really think about it. You just keep placing the CD orders, you know? And yes, I did. I sold them everywhere. You know, my spiritual temple that I belong to, they bought a whole bunch and put in there in the gift shop, and all the different organizations. I'm a U of M alumni. I gave them to the U of M alumni, and they sold some, like everything. Again, that list is so powerful. I cannot explain to you guys how powerful that list is. Where did you go to school? You know, my high school teachers were like, oh, the band needs a fundraiser. Well, here's, you know, how many CDs you need, you know, and people wanted to support the hometown girl. So, you know, you just look at all these different avenues. There's a million different avenues to sell your music. And yes, it's shifted a little bit now because of the internet and people want downloads and what have you, but you can still put together packages and things that people can use as a fundraiser. You know, fundraising is huge. Organizations, high schools, you know, sports teams, they're all looking for something to sell besides those chocolates. You know, my dentist had a stack. My childhood dentist had a stack. Everybody had CDs to sell. And I also went to all the local music stores and I said, you know, can you sell my CD? And they said, yes. And, you know, I'm also a yogi. So my yoga studio was selling my CD. So you know what I'm saying? You're hearing the trend here. It's the list. Where do I spend money?
One step at a time, reaching individuals, reaching businesses. You clearly are a humble person in that you went personally to do this. You didn't just wait for a record deal and then to instantly be in a bunch of stores and sell a million copies. You went out and you worked. You did it.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, that's wonderful. And to realize that you utilized your list, not taking for granted that you knew people from your college, from U of M, from your high school, from, you know, everything that you do in your life, you utilized your own connections and
Absolutely.
You went out there, you worked hard and you used it for good too. You actually had people selling it for fundraisers and split the profits. And I do realize, like you said, this was back when CDs were the main form of media for music, whereas today it is downloads. But that same philosophy, that same idea can still be applied today using your list, using your connections.
Absolutely. You know, and nowadays, you know, people are loving records. I'm like, I was behind the records. You know, when I was growing up, it was cassettes, and then we went from cassettes to CDs. So I missed the whole record thing. But, you know, records are back now. People love records. So, you know, you could print records and use that as a fundraiser, or a record t-shirt, you know, bundle, you know. And here's the other thing. If I could just say one more thing, you know, artists are getting stuck on the CD download. Who cares about the CD download? That is not where your money is. Your money is in your bundles. You know, people want the special things. They want the things that are numbered. You have 100 records. You know, that's a premium product. You have a t-shirt, you know, bundle, or a tote bag t-shirt bundle. It's really all about leveraging the music, you know. So don't get caught up in, oh, I'm not making any money off of Spotify. Don't get caught up in that. Just say, what can I do from Spotify? From Spotify, I can get people on my private mailing list. From those people on my private mailing list, I can sell them VIP packages to my concerts, to my events. There's so many ways to make money with your music. Your music is just an advertising vehicle. You know, so don't really get caught up on the 99-cent iTunes or the almost 0% on Spotify. Think of it more long term of getting people on your list, and that's a lifelong client or potential client or customer or fan.
Well, Izina, it has been simply awesome having you as today's special guest. Thanks so much for sharing about yourself, giving some great advice, and making yourself available to our listeners.
Well, thank you so much, Terrence, for having me. I'm so honored to be here today, and I'm just so grateful that we were able to connect. So thank you as well. and keep doing what you're doing. And I look forward to hearing more wonderful podcasts from you.
Well, there you have it. Izina LeBlanc, everybody. Tune in for the next episode of The Music Business Connection. And remember, keep on rocking in a free world. Until next time.
Thanks for listening to The Music Business Connection, inspiring the rock star within you.